Vav says, V'yosisu yishal make a choshev mishpat. Maaseh choshev. A choshev mishpat, maaseh choshev. Now what does it mean choshev? Choshev means, I think Raj is going to say choshev means, we had it before, it means it has to be made with embroidery. Maaseh rikma. Means it's one piece of material, and everything is woven together. Everything is woven. Nothing is stitched. There's something called ma'ase. There's something called ma'ase ariga, and there's something that's called ma'ase machat. Machat is the stitch. So it's not done by stitching, but it's done by choshev. Means it's done by weaving. V'yosisu choshev mishpat ma'ase choshev k'ma'ase eifod ha'sendu. You should make like the eifod. Zahav gold u'scheles blue argam and purple. Tel hashani is red. Those three materials are made from wool, and sheish marsha is linen. Taase oisai. Okay, so but here they're really five different. There are five different materials, because we have wool, three different types of wool, we have linen shatnez, and we have gold strands. Let's see over here the targum first. Targum says, V'sabed choshen, you shall make the choshen. Dina, the choshen, the breastplate of judgment. Oivad Amon, it is the work of a craftsman. Okay, it is a ma'aseh choshev. So this is very interesting, because we had the word choshev not many times. I've never really spent time on it. The word choshev, according to the Targum, means it's the work of a craftsman. An Amon, a craftsman. And then it says, "K'maseh, it's ke'oivei ke'oivat eifoda." It's the same thing like the eifod. Ta'abidine, it shall be made. The hava gold, tichlas blue, our garment is purple. Tzva utzva zohari. Tzva zohari is red. Uvutz is linen. Shazir. Uvutz means spun linen. Ta'abid yoseh. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, "Choshev mishpat." Shemechaper al kikol. Then why is it called a choshen of mishpat? Because it brings atonement for kilkol hadin. Now, what does that mean, kilkol hadin? I guess it means if for corruption. If there's corruption, and I'm assuming that at some point in time the dayanim have charata and they do teshuvah. Because if there's no teshuvah, there's not going to be kapara. So it says to some degree it brings kapara for kilkol hadin, dover acher, mishpat. The choshen provided mishpat shemavarer devada v'haftachaso emes. It clarifies its words, and its promise is truthful. Then he cites over here an old French word. I don't know what that means. Shemishpat. Now this, I don't know here what this means. We learned this yesterday very quickly. Shemishpat mishamish shalosh lashonos. The word mishpat is used in three different contexts. Number one, divrei ta'anois habale dinim ugemar hadin v'oinish hadin. Now is that one? It could be that's why I made a mistake. Yes, I think this will consider one category. The complaints, the arguments. No. It's three things. Divrei Hatainos, Habali Dinim. Number two is the Gemar Din. And number three is V'oinish Hadin. Im Oinish Miso, Im Oinish Makos, Im Oinish Mamon. V'zeh Meshamesh L'shoin Beirur Devarim. This is something different, which means clarity. Shemefaresh U'mevorer Devarov. It explains and clarifies its words. I don't know. I'm really lost. What Rashi over here is trying to say. Obviously, there's something very deep going on over here. But Rashi is saying over here there are three different translations of the word mishpat. Are the arguments? Is the decision of the court, and then the punishment? And it seems that the decision of the court is not the same as the punishment. There's a psak din, chayiv, or potter. Just because the balei dinim are chayiv, we then have to be mevarer what will be the punishment. It's a two-phase process, like in America. In America, there's first a decision made if the person is guilty or innocent, and then if the person is guilty, there's a second phase of mishpat, of punishment. And usually, I told you very, very often in America, there's a jury of your peers to decide if the person is guilty or innocent, and if the jury concludes that the defendant is guilty, then very often it's up to the judge. It's up to the judge to decide the penalty. I don't know if that's always the case. So here also, it seems that Rashi over here is coming to say something very similar. There are the arguments, the lawyers present arguments, and then there is the decision, which is made by a judge, And then there's another decision as now that if the person is guilty, what will be the punishment? Now here, Rashi concludes, the word over here, choshen mishpat, means something different. It means beirur devarim, shemefaresh umevor devarov. Clarification, a choshen of clarification. Now let's go back to let's look at Kamas Eifoid. Maasei choshev umechamesh aminim. Maasei choshev means that it's done by embroidery. It's not done by stitching together different pieces of material. We don't go make a little thing here and stitch it together like you make a shirt. You make a shirt. So there are sleeves. So today when you make a shirt, the sleeves are stitched to the shirt. The main garment is the body, and then the sleeves are stitched to the shirt. That's called Maase Machat. Maase Choshev means the entire thing. The person was making a shirt out of Maase Choshev. There are no stitches. The sleeves are fashioned at the same time that the body of the garment is fashioned. Everything is done in one shot, with one chokhmah. Everything is put together in one shot. So here, it's saying that the Maase Eifoid was also the Maase Choshev, so too, the Choshev is Maase Eifoid. Alright, now let's go back to the Targum. Over here says, V'sabit Choshev Dina, the Choshev Dina. He doesn't over here elaborate upon clarification. Okay, Ovad Omon, the work of a craftsman, an expert, doesn't say Choshev, he doesn't say it means embroidery. He says it means a craftsman. Ovad Eifoda, Ta'ab Dine. And then he goes on, different materials. Okay, is there some over here, something deep over here going on over here in the Targum? Let's very quickly take a quick look at the Parshas Tetzaveh, Pasek Tetzvav, Pasuk Tetzvav, what does it say over here? It says, we have six Choshen Mishpat. Okay, Choshen Dino, L'chor Targum Kolosh Nakaz Ve'in Lanu Gili Eich Mepharshun Kolos Hamil Mishpat. Elo Shadas Haksav Yachabol Kosov Kolos Ketargum Yonis Menu Zil. Shachoshen Mepharish Mishpatei Hashem Teresav Shem Hoye Lebezin Sveika Dino Hoye Chol Lizbarer Mishpatoi Alidei She'elas Ho'urim Vitumim. As a Chiddush, Elo Shekosav Hareshmul Bezin Kayim Perishin Yad Di Yisur Hedder Loi Mishal Bivitumim. Okay, so here he's saying over here, he's touching upon a very big topic of discussion, and that is Torah lav b'shamayim. Let us say that the person does not know what the halacha is. Can he, if he has a dream, and in the dream a malach tells him what the halacha is, do we take that seriously? This is a very big one. We're pretty much accustomed to the rule that Torah lav b'shamayim he. But if a person hears what from a malach, or if a person somehow makes communication with the other world and they tell him what the halacha is, we do not accept it. In Shemayim, they are not decision makers for us. The Torah was given to man, it is for man to decide what the halacha is. There is no acceptance of hearing a decision that is made in heaven. Heaven is bound by the decisions that are made on this world. This is something the Gemara talks about. Torah lav b'shamayim, and we hear about this all the time, but it's not so simple. It's not simple at all. There are opinions that hold that no, Torah is b'shamayim, and if in Shemayim we make a decision and we find out about it, then we take it seriously and it becomes the halacha. So he's trying to what? That was one story. That was one story. That's one story that maybe they felt her la bashmani, but it's not everyone agrees to this principle. This is I was always under the assumption that everyone agrees to the principle of her la bashmani, but it's not so simple. So here he's over here now. It seems like the Targum Yonis Ben Uzil, which we're not learning now, but over here in the this sefer I'm using on Unglis, he suggests that the Targum is coming to hold that no, Torah is b'shamayim, and in a situation where Beis Din cannot make a decision, they do not know what the halacha is, they can consult the Urim V'Tumim, and then the Urim V'Tumim will decide, obviously it's through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the halacha is. there is such a principle. Obviously, you have to balance all the different pieces of the equation. When do you say Torah Laba Hashem? When you say yes? But it says that the choishen here is a choishen of dina, which means what is the Targum mean with the word dina? It means it decides. It's saying something very, very powerful, a whole different idea. And he's saying this really comes from the Targum Yonos of New Zealand. You want to look at the Targum Yonos of New Zealand? Let's see, we have it here. We might as well look at the Targum Yonos of Shemois. V'saved choishen dina debei mehoda dine hoin di Yisrael de iskase min dayana. Unbelievable, look what it says. And the sidrei natzchin kira vehoin, and the arrangement of the natzchan kira vehoin. I don't know what that means. Ule nichpura al dayana. The arrangement of the natzchan, I don't know. But let's forget about that. Let's at least just focus on the beginning of what it says over here. That sometimes it is concealed from the minds of the judges what the halacha is. It's a very difficult case that's presented to the court, and the court does not know the answer. So then they would go to the choishen and present the question, and the letters on the choishen would light up, telling the dayanim what is the halacha. You'll say, what do you mean? Doesn't that violate the basic principle Torah lav b'ashamayim hi? So the answer is that Torah lav b'ashamayim is only when dayanim are willing to decide. If the dayanim are willing to make a decision, then we'll follow the mind and the thought process of the judges. It is only when the dayanim do not want to make a decision, or they do not know what they do not know, then they are permitted to hand over the decision in halacha to Shammai. Now that's also a chiddush, because there are certainly opinions that say that's also invalid. If the dayanim do not know what the halacha is, so they should be machmir, or they should try again, try to think about it again until they finally come to a conclusion. But never, ever, ever can Shamayim render a halachic decision. That certainly is the opinion of many people. Along comes the Targum Yoinosan ben Uziel, and he seems to indicate that the rule of Torah Laba Hashemayim is only initially. A question is presented, and the Yonim are giving first choice. They're given the prerogative to make a decision. And if only in a situation where it's too difficult and the decision is concealed, the correct halachic understanding of the matter is concealed from them, they just don't know. They don't know which way to go. Then and only then can they go to the choishen, present it, and the choishen will decide. That's why it's called a choishen of dina, of law. The choishen makes the halachic decision. Now the Targum of Israel is very elaborate, as you always do. Unkelus just says it in one word, v'savid choishen of dina, a choishen that will make a decision. Now, once we appreciate what the Targum says, we can go back and look what Rashi says. Rad choishen mishpat. So first he says, mishpat means it's mechaper on kilkladin. Davarach mishpat, shemivorer divorov, its words. What do you mean he clarifies its words? What do you mean its words? V'hafta chosoy, and its promise is emes. What does that mean exactly? Okay, then it's shamishpat nom misham shosh shana. It's different times habaladin and b'gemardin and v'oynish adin. Im oynish mis, im oynish makas, im oynish mamen. V'zeh, and this mishpat l'shoyn beirur devarim shemafarish umevar devarav. I still don't know what that means.
It says here in the English, I don't know if Leza has it also, the English art scroll, and the French word, he starts with that, Dreshmont means to defend or prove a claim. And then he has a footnote, the three terms of Mishpat. Number A is the words of the claims of the litigant, and Gemar Din, the verdict, and Onish is the execution. And evidently, Rashi here, he says, is focusing on translation number A, the words of the claimants of litigant, I mean, a legal argument. And Rashi is saying, and I'm quoting what he says here on note 6 in my version, says, thus, Rashi is saying here that the term Choshen Mishpat indicates that the Urim Bitumen prove the truth of its words, just as one presenting his claims before the court tries to show the truth and justice of his arguments. So that's explanation number A of Rashi, Divrei Ta'anos Bale Din. Forget the other two possible meanings, Gemar Din and Onish Badin. Those are not what Rashi is focusing on here. He's only focusing on the first one, meaning...
It's going back to number one. It's not. I thought maybe he was saying it's a number four. Ordinarily, there's one, two, three. Here, it's none of the above. It's number four. But he's saying, no. There's one, two, three, and here is an elaboration number one.
Right, but he goes on to say in the thing, this example, meaning the claims of the litigants and the fact that the Urim and Tumim are proving them to be true. He says this example of the word, meaning the claims of the litigants, is used in the sense of substantiation. So the Urim, there's claims being made evidently by whoever are litigants. Now, we don't know, perhaps like you said, Rabbi Levin, we don't know, is it truth or not? So you consult with the Urim Batumim, and the Urim confirms the claims, whatever they mean, substantiate that. As it explains, Shemafarish Mavar, the verb, its words, as it explains and substantiates its words. So whoever making the arguments, one of them is the truthful one, and therefore one is just. Put into this footnote, it's argument number one.
I understand. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm not going to argue with that. But there's something that's still a little bit not satisfactory. Okay, I hear. Okay, let's leave it with that. But you have to appreciate...
The shocking statement, I'll tell you what's shocking. I had never seen... All the examples of consultation with Urim Batumim, I know they did it for... Nachlas Eretz Yisrael. I know they did it for Ochan. They had to consult with. I know Shaul consulted with the tribes consulted, should they go up to Eretz Yisrael or not? Who should go first? Should Yehuda go first? Which tribe? All that. I never heard of an example where, except for
Halacha.
Yeah.
Right.
I never realized that they would consult. Like I'm reading Sanhedrin now. And Sanhedrin, you know, they talk about it. If they couldn't decide the case at the lower court of 23, for example, they went up to the Bezin and Yerushalayim, the Bezin HaGadol 71, and that was it. Whatever they decided was the halacha. I didn't realize there's an extra layer that they, whatever. Or, you know, or I'm reading in Sanhedrin, for example, you come up, you reach up to, you go start at 23 judges, and if you can't decide, you have to decide, especially for Chayef, you have to decide by two. Right, you can have a majority of one for Zakai, you have to have a majority of two for Chayav. And you keep going up and up and up to 71. And the footnote there in my elucidated Mishnah says if they reach a total of 71, he started with 23, and if they can't decide then the guy goes free. So according to what the Talmud Nosman Zil is, they should consult with, assuming the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they should have consulted with the Urim Tumim and said, hey, we can't make the decision this guy, Chayev or not. Help us out here, what the claim is. He's saying whatever, and we're deciding. It's a new...
Exactly. In other words, I was always under the assumption, maybe more like you, that the Urim Tumim was for a Dvar Rishus. A question, a person, should we go away on vacation? Should we go to Florida, or should we go to Eretz Yisrael? Should we go to Los Angeles or to Florida? Where should we go? Dvar Rishos. I want to go listen to the Daf Yomisha. Should I listen to Sruli Borenstein or should I listen to Eli Stefanski? Okay, the two, Gedolei Hador. There's no halacha. You do whatever you want. So I don't know in the long run what's going to be the best for me. So you go, you ask the Urim V'Tumim, you have a dilemma. You have a dilemma in the Dvar Rishos. Halacha? Halacha to Elav Shemayimi. Halacha, you go and you look in Shulchan Aruch and you make a decision. You don't go to Yisrael Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim is not for halacha. Urim V'Tumim is for a Dvar Rishos. Should I fly JetBlue or should I fly Delta? What's a better airline? So you go, you ask the Urim V'Tumim and they'll tell you which airline you should fly on. Right? That's why. Along comes the Targum Yonis Ben Uzili, makes it very, very clear. Not only is the Urim V'Tumim related to halacha, it is used when the Dayanim do not know the halacha. They don't know the halacha. There's a person comes into court, he has a shaila, what to do, should is he chayev the money, is he not chayev to give the money back? There are two people that are fighting. They don't know who's right, who's wrong. Is Reuven chayev to Shimon $100, or is Shimon chayev to Reuven $100? And the dayanim cannot come to a halachic conclusion, so you know what you do, you ask the Urim the Tumim, and the Urim the Tumim tells you what is the halacha. That is the way the Targum Yonas and Uziel learns, and that some want to suggest is what Unkelus also learns. Rashi doesn't seem to say that, the way at least what you're telling me from the footnotes. Because from the footnotes, it's not coming to give you a decision, it's coming to, I don't really know what Rashi is saying. It's not clear what Rashi is saying.
He says the Urim and Tumim, I quote.
Okay, it's, it matters, it's subject to interpretation.
Tumim, whatever they came up with, that's the emes.
Okay, Rashi is obviously subject to interpretation. In the footnotes, they're giving you one interpretation. Certainly, you probably can find other interpretations. But the point is, the Targum Yonasan, or Unkelus, which is understood only from the Targum Yonasan in New Zealand, this interpretation, is definitely opening up this topic very, very wide. If we didn't learn the Targum, we wouldn't have the question. We wouldn't even bother. But now that we have the Targum Unkelus, and he says it's Dina, and then we have a whole discussion here in the commentary that Dina means, go look at what it says in Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. And what it says there is what Unkelus means as well. We're blown open. Wow! That the according to Unkelus, the purpose of the Urim v'Tumim was to be to make a halachic decision in the situation where the Dayanim don't know the answer. They don't know what the halacha is. We can't figure this out. It's too complicated. We don't know. You can say a svara like svara this. Along comes the Urim v'Tumim, gives you a halachic decision. Now, with that clarity in what it says in Unkelus, we now have a much, much greater appreciation of what is Rashi trying to say. Or at least, we're very curious. Because Rashi, he says, what does it mean mishma? So first he says drush. It means kapara for kilkul adin. Then he says, dover acher, mishpat, shemivorer divorov v'haftachos emes. Listen, I don't know what he means, but it certainly doesn't sound like Unkelus. It certainly doesn't sound like Unkelus that it's giving you a psak halacha, piske halacha, mutter osser, chayif potter. Doesn't sound like that. Rashi over here saying it's mevorer devara v'haftocha. What haftocha? What are you talking about? A haftocha? A promise? What? What are you talking about? This is the vocabulary you're going to use to tell me that Rashi agrees with Unkelus? No way. What kind of haftochos is emes? It's promise? Who's promising anything over here? To me, what it sounds like is a person comes to ask a question, should I fly Delta or should I fly JetBlue? And along comes the Urim v'Tumim, and it tells you, better fly JetBlue. Better go JetBlue. It's haftocha. It's promise. It's statement. It's advice. This is the good advice. It sounds like from Rashi, if I wouldn't know better, that he's Adarab, he's coming to thoroughly disagree with the Unkelus. The Urim v'Tumim is not about halacha. Halacha, you go into the Lishka Sagozis and let the Chachamim, let them figure out. And if they can't figure it out, go back to work. Go back tomorrow, the next day, and figure it out. There's no such thing as not figuring it out. You figure it out. Torah is lav b'shamayimi. You have to come to a conclusion one way or another. But what is something you don't go to the Talmud? You don't go, I need to know about where should I send my children to yeshiva? Should I send my children to Tarvadas? Or should I send them to Veretsky? Okay, that's what you go and you ask the Urim v'Tumim. And it's Haftocha. Better send them, none of the above. Send them to Torah Semes Kamenetz. There they're going to be Matzliach. Okay, it sounds like from Rashi's coming to reject the Unkelus. Okay, let's go further. I don't know, let's go further. Something to think about. Ravua Yekaful Zeres Akav Zeres Rachba. Now we're describing the dimensions. What was the size of the Choshen? It was a square. Ravua means a square. It was a Zeres in length, a Zeres in width. Now, what is a Zeres? So Rashi, let's first see the Targum. Unkelus says, Miraba Yehe. It shall be a square eighth. Double. That's a strange word for us. What does it mean, eighth? A double. Zerta urke v'zerta pasye. A zeris, it's length, a zeris width. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, zeris yagav, zeris rachba, kafel double. kafel umutu loy lefanav kineged liboy. He's not saying over here exactly what's going on over here. What is it? Kafel. His zeres ark of zeres rochboy. Rashi then says kafel. What? What does that mean? What is Rashi saying over here? Is Rashi saying that the word kafel is going on the word zeres? That it's a double zeres. A double zeres in length and a double zeres in width. That's what it seems. Because Rashi is putting the word kafel, he's putting the words out of order. It's ravua yiyeh. He's basically saying the way you should translate the pasuk is ravua yiyeh. It's a square. And it should be a zeres kafel arkoi and a zeres kafel rachbai. Because he puts the word kafel, zeres arkov, zeres rachbai, kafel. Is that what it says? He's putting the word at the end. He's saying that it's double the size. Let's see. Umutuloy lefon of keneged libo. And you put it on the heart, the iron ward on his heart, opposite his heart. Shnemar b'choy b'olev iron. Toli was suspended. Bekisvay so'evod. It was held up by the shoulder straps that came down from the ephod. The ephod is a garment that is worn on the back of the body. The primary focus of the ephod is it is a garment that covers the back of the body. We don't think of garments like that. Today, when we think of garments, there's no such thing as a garment, the front, the back. Who thinks? A garment is a garment. You wear the garment, it looks nice. You wear it, it doesn't look nice. You don't wear it. Think about, no, there's a garment that covers the front of the body, and there's a garment that covers the back of the body. This, the ephod covered the back of the body. And the ephod, how was it held in place? How was it supported? It was basically supported by the choshen. The choshen fastened the ephod from the back. There were shoulder straps that came on the top of the ephod, wrapped around down to the front, and at the ends of those shoulder straps, we secured the choshen. Upon the shoulders, v'nik polois. Now it says of v'nik polois v'yardos lefon of ma'at. Okay, what is that word v'nik polois? It was nik polois v'yardos lefon of ma'at. It was folded. It says folded, right? And it went further down. Oh, I'm sorry. Those are the straps. Those are the straps. The straps came over the shoulders and they came down. In other words, they came in front of the shoulders. The straps were connected to the ephod. It went up around the shoulder and came down slightly, a little bit. And the choshen was suspended on these straps. The sharshois through the chains, the tabois and the rings. Like we learned before. So it seems that I'm saying what kafel is going on the length of the zeres. Does that make any sense? I don't know. I always thought kafel means is that it was a square that was folded over. It was like two layers. It was really a rectangle. And when you folded it, it turned into a square. That's what it means, kaful. And in the fold, they inserted on the parchment the Urim Vitumim. So that's what I thought it meant. It was a revua yiyeh. It was a square after you folded it. Because if you were to unfold it, you would be left with a rectangle. Its length would be double its width. So when you fold it, now it's a perfect square. What goes in the fold? The shemos of the special shem Hashem, which are called the Urim and the Tumim. There are two different shemos. One shem is called the Urim, and one name of Hashem is called the Tumim, and they're written on parchment, and they were put on the inside of the fold. That's what I thought it meant. But maybe over here, that's not what it means. Maybe it was a piece of material that was a square. And they would insert, somehow they would stick on the inside, the shemais. And when it says wood kaful, it's telling us the dimensions. It was a zeres kaful. A zeres is a pinky. It's teeny. Are we really going to say that the entire width and length of the choshen was so small? It was the size of a pinky? They had the choshen, they had the breastplate on top of that. On top of that was the breastplate. They had the 12 stones. And it's such a small area, they were able to insert 12 stones. L'chair, it means it was much larger than the size of a pinky. It was double the size of a pinky. Okay, so let's see. Let's see what it says here in the Targum Unkelus. Unkelus says, we did it already. We did it already. Okay. So we don't have really much clarification. One thing that we do have, though, there is one thing that we do have, that the Targum puts the word Eif after the word Miraba. Eif means doubled. Rashi puts the word Kaful, he extracts it from the Pasuk, and he puts it at the end of the Pasuk in his translation. And we know all very good and well that when you translate the Pasuk, you're not bound to translate the words in order. More often than not, you rearrange words. So let's see over here what it says over here. Eif is double. Over here, he doesn't say anything. Look at that. No help over here from this Sefer. And in this Sefer, what does he say? He says, this is Pasuk Tez Zayin. Pasuk Tez Zayin. Revuya Vizeris Kofol, if Ulikamon be Pasik Lamed Beis, Vahyal Pirosho Sakhotakim Kifil the Gave, the Ula Yesh Hefesh Gambein, Ki Kofol, who are Kfifa, Maat, Mashenkin be Kan, be Kefil, the Shnaim Bobolosh, and if. Okay, it's not helping me. Okay, I'm beginning to wonder that maybe there's a major machloikis between Rashi and Unkelis as to what it really means, the word Kofol. Okay, cannot ignore the fact that Rashi puts the word kaful at the end, and the Targum puts the word kaful in the beginning of the pasuk, and they're both translating the pasuk. We have to see more about this. Umilei savoy, you will now fill up the choshen mi luas even, the fullness of a stone. Now that's lashon yachid, and then it goes on arba'ot tunim oven, four rows of. It should say Avonim. Isn't this interesting that when it talks about the stones, it keeps on referring to the stones of Meloshon Yochid when it should really refer to the Meloshon Rabbe? Tor, one row is Odem Pitul Vorekes, Hatur Echad. Okay, the next one is Hatur Asher Nefes Sape V'Yohaloim, V'Hatur Ashlishi, Leshem Shevoi V'Yachlom, these are all names of stones. V'Hatur Horevit, Harshish, V'Shem V'Yoshvei, Mishubotzin Zahob, there shall be settings of gold, Yehiyu B'Milu Oysan. Now there's a lot going on over here. Let's just take a look over here at the Targum. Targum over here says, with regard to Milei Savoy, V'sashlein Bei Ashlomus Avno. He is translating the word Milei Savoy to mean to pay, to be ma, or to make complete, the completion of the stone. What does that mean? I have no idea. Arba'o Sidrin, four orders. And this is very interesting. When it says Arba Sidrin, it says of the Arba Turim. What is a tour? So it means a row. He's calling it an order. Evan Tava Sidra Kadma. Then he goes on to say Arba Turim Oven Tur. He adds some words in it. Arba'a turim oven. Avno, arba'a sidrin even. And then he says, tova sidra kadma'a. What does that mean? A good order, number one. Samkon, yarkon, ubarkon, sidra chad. So, question over here is, where did he get these words? These words over here are not part of the Pasuk. There's anything into the Pasuk. We have to see. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Umilei Savoy, Al Shem Shavonim, Memalois, Gumois, Hamishpitsois, Hamisukonis Lohem. Rashi is coming over here to say, what is the word Umilei Savoy? Umilei Savoy means to fill up. So it means that the Mishpitsois, which we learned yesterday, meant a pitchfork, a fork. Well, that was at least according to that. You have to be very careful. That was only according to what it said in Unkelis. Rashi never said it was a pitchfork. Rashi didn't really talk about what. Rashi made no comment on the Mishpatzos. It was only the Targum that told us what the Mishpatzos are. But here it says, Milesa Vayal Shem, Shavonim Memalis Kumas. According to Rashi, we have to assume it was a cavity. And the stones filled up the cavity. Shavonim Memalis would fill up the Gumas, the cavity, hamishpitzos, hamisukonos lahen, that were made, custom made for these stones, kori oisan b'lashon miluim. So, according to Rashi, Rashi says, umileso voy, what's the voy? The voy is the mishpitzos. which are the settings. The settings were concave. They had a cavity which allowed the stones to fill them up. The miluas and the fullness of the stone, which seems to indicate that the stone was sunk in the cavity. It says the fullness of the stone. What does that mean? I always thought that the stone in a little tiny cavity, the Mishra says, and the majority of the stone protruded on the outside of the Chosha. It's not really what it says. If it says the miluas evin, which means that the entire stone was sunk into the cavity of into the cavity, nothing came above the surface. The entire stone was within. Okay, not really so clear what it means. Okay, now let's take a look over here at what it says in the Farish, and see maybe we can get some ideas. Now, to talk a lot of stuff over here. Over here it says the sashlem bay ashlomos near the Farish. Wow. Okay. So Udas Rabban Shaloi Loshna Shlomo. So it seems over here that Umilei Savoy, according to Unkelis, means these should be complete stones. The stones may not be cut. In other words, when you go and you get stones, you get one of these stones, you have the Odem. So you send out someone, go get me an Odem stone. And he comes back with a massive brick. Okay, very good. We'll take it, we'll put it into the machine, and we'll go and we'll chisel out just the size, the perfect size, what we need to put onto the choshen. No, it's no good. The stones that were inserted on the choshen were natural, complete stones. They were not cut to a smaller size. And that's what it means, umilei savoy, miluas oven, that the stone has to be a mole. The word vo, it appears according to Unkelis, is going on the stone itself. This sashlem bay ashlomus avna. You shall complete to it ashlomus avna, which is a term which means a complete stone. And the sashlem bay means it shall be complete in it. Umilei savo. There shall be a fullness on the choshen. There shall be on the choshen a full. It's an expression, it seems. It seems that it's an expression. It's a play on the word. You repeat the word twice with the word vo. And it basically means is that the stone should be a sholem. You have two bulkalach Friday night to make kiddush, to make hamotzi. You have to have shleimim. The stones were shleimim. According to Rashi, it's not what it says. Clear. The word milesavo means we're referring to the mishpitzos, the setting. The setting was a cavity, and the stone is going to fill up the cavity. Unkelis, what are you talking about? What cavity? What are you talking about? You're going to take the stone, and there's going to be a mishpitzos, there's going to be a setting, but the setting is not a cavity to accept it. The setting was a placeholder, just held it. But the stone has to be a complete stone, according to Unkelis. Okay, that's an amazing thing. Now the next thing, we have over here the Avna, the stone. Lo tigam Avna tova, kamo shetikam lakam apazak zevanir, shum b'shum milos lavin, al shem toyav malocha, v'nas agam, okay, I'm not sure what that, kad ma, ki ilu losh nakos v'atur harishan al derech shetikam shar aturim. And then he goes into the colors, okay, all different types of stones. Okay, so let's just go back over and clarify with these extra words. Umilesav according to Unkelis. Uvesashlim bay ashlomus avna. Arba'os sidrin evin. Four rows of arba'tunim evin. Oh, here's what it means. Four rows of an evin tovo. Okay, he really only shows. Then he goes the tour sidra kadmaa is the first row is going to be the samkon yarkon uvarkon And then it repeats Sidrachot. So let's just take note. What is the Targum repeating? What is he doing? There's an inconsistency. When he first begins to describe the roles, he says there's going to be Arba'ah, four orders of good stones. Arba'ah Turim Oven. Arba'ah Sidrim Even Tova. Where did he get that word? Even Tova. Who told him to put the word Even Tova? Who told him to do that? And then when he goes further, Tor is an order, a Sidra. He says, Kadma'ah. Why did he put the word? Who told you the word? It doesn't say the word Akadma. It says Tor, a row. Oidem Pito Vorekes, Hator Hu Echad, is the Sidra Chod. So what is he coming to say a Chiddush? If not for him telling me the word Kadma'ah, we could have been misled to believe that this row, who says this is the first row? Maybe this is the last row. How do we know that this is the first row? So it has to be the way that we know that he derives that is because since in the next pasuk it says Hasheni, and then it says Hashalishi, and Horavi'i, I'm making this assumption that what gave Unkelus the license to add the word the Sidra Kadmo'ah in pasuk Yudzayin is because in pasuk Yudches, Yutes, and Chaf, it said explicitly 2, 3, 4. So how come it did not say over here in this pasuk, when it talks about the Tor, it says Tor a row, Odem Pito Varekes. Then it says Hator Ho Echod. Echod is not Rishon. It's not Rishon. One row. In all of the other psukim, 18, 19, and 20, it says the Tor Hasheni, the Tor Hashlish, the Tor Harvi'i. Here it says Tor, it should say Tor Rishon. Oidem Pito Uvarekes. And then it says Hator Ho Echad. You don't even need those two words. And those two words now make everything very confusing because it almost sounds like one row doesn't say the first row. This reminds us of what? Ma'ase Bereishis. And Ma'ase Bereishis, it says in the Yom, it says, what is it? It says, Yom Echad. And everyone asks the question, why does it say Yom Echad? It should say Yom Rishon. Because it says Sheni Shlish Revi. There's something very interesting going on over here. There's an inconsistency. It's Tor Sheni, Tor Shlishi, Tor Revi'i. So we would expect it to say here, Tor Rishon. No, it doesn't say that. It says nothing. And instead, when it gets to the end of it says, HaTor, and it says now the wrong word, HaEchad. So the Targum is trying to some degree, trying to rectify this, and say that when it says the word Tor here, it's as if it said Tor Rishon. Sidra Kadma'ah, the Rishon. And then it says, Sidra Chod v'ho'echad. Notice it takes away the Hei HaYidiyah. He takes that away. Okay, and then also what's very curious, Arba Turim Oven. What? Oven? It should say, Arba Turim Oven. Where did he get the word Tava? So the only thing I can suggest is that the fact that it's written B'Loshon Yochid, and not B'Loshon Rabin, it's written B'Loshon, when it's written B'Loshon Yochid, that's an indication that it's very, very choshev. It's perfect. All right, obviously there's a lot of interesting stuff going on over here in this pasuk, and we'll have to leave it with that for now. All right, everybody, thank you so much for coming and learning with me. Definitely new things I never heard before. A lot of chidushim here in this ungulus. Thank you for coming. It's a good night. Thank you, Mr. Rapport. Thank you. Norman, thank you for coming. Have a wonderful night. Be well, everyone. Zay gesund. Zay gesund.
Rabbeinu Yisrael is here. Bruche. Wow, look at this. Oi, gewalt. Oi, gewalt. Oi, gewalt. Too good.
Stay for tonight, for tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow.
We'll take for lunch tomorrow.
Whatever you want.
What we'll take for lunch tomorrow? Wow.
My favorite.
What's your favorite?
Cheese.
What is this?